Welcome to Stories and Stanza. I am excited to have you here. This podcast explores prose, poetry, and history. Every week, I'll take you on a journey through the human experience, sharing inspiring stories and conversations to uplift your spirit and inspire you. Whether you are a lover of literature, a writer, or simply someone who enjoys a good story, Stories and Stanza is the place for you. Please join me in welcoming Andrea Burton in the author's chair for today's episode. She is here to talk about her new book, The Godfather of Dance, and share her experience as a writer and editor. I'm sure new writers will be enriched by her journey and valuable advice. If you want to publish and understand different aspects of editing, you might find today's episode really valuable. Please join me in welcoming Andrea. Thank you. Hi, Andrea. Thanks for joining us on a new episode of Stories and Stanza.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a delight to be here.
Thank you. So today we will talk about your new book and a lot more. But before that, could you just introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sure. So my name is Andrea Burton. I am an author and an editor. So the new release, my new book you've been talking about, is The Godfather of Dance. It's a Jade Riley mystery. So it's what I'm hoping to be the first in a series of books that are written about a journalist called Jade Riley, who is an Australian journalist.
Thank you so much. I look forward to know a lot more about your project. How did you start and how long did it take to write the novel? And maybe if you could share something from the novel, just for listeners, it'll kind of also be a teaser for anyone who is interested. Would you like to start with a little bit of reading from your book?
Sure. So what I might do is just read the back cover to start with, because it sets the scene of what the book is actually about. So
sure.
Journalist Jade is determined to write a career-defining article. Her dance instructor Anton wants to know who killed his fiancée. Caught between the glamorous world of ballroom dance and Anton's dark past in the Valencio crime family, can they solve the murder before they become the next targets? Anton's sister, desperate to protect family secrets, tries to stop the investigation. The siblings are on a collision course, challenging the Valencio maxim, loyalty to family no matter what. So that should give you a bit of an understanding what the book's about. So
yes,
there's murder, there's dance, there's intrigue, there's a little bit of romance. So
wonderful.
So if you would like me to read a little, I can read part of the opening chapter.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, if you could share a little bit from your book.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is chapter one. It's called Bailemos, We Dance, and it's in Anton's point of view. Before the hail of bullets, Danica and I were at our New Orleans studio rehearsing a bold, brassy samba. The music pulsed as we shimmied and twirled our hips in sync. Danica wore an old pair of leggings and a strappy bra top. Her curves made me want to run my hands all over her body. "Come on, we need more bounce," Danica demonstrated, sassy as ever, bossy as ever. I could watch her all day. "Use your knees, the rhythm, catch the rhythm." Through the windows, headlights flashed onto her until the car turned. Our studio lay on a busy road at the top of a T intersection. So at night, whenever a car approached, we had a roving spotlight. I could have, should have, pulled the blinds. But why reject free publicity? I loved commanding a stage. Looking back, I wish I'd closed those blinds. But you don't get second chances in life. You can't rewind the clock. Is that enough, or would you like me to keep going?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I was totally engrossed into the scene. The drama of it and how you read it, it's perfect. So that should give our listeners an idea about the book. And I wish it all the success. So tell me a little bit about starting this project. How long did it take to plan this and then write this out and all the additional preparations?
Well, it's a very long process. This was actually not the first Jade Riley novel that I wrote. So I started working on this Jade Riley series probably about 2016 or maybe even 14, so probably 10 years ago. I was living in the time in Doha, Qatar. And so the first Jade Riley book that I wrote was actually set in the Middle East. I wrote that one, and then I decided, because I'd lived as an expat in a number of different countries, I was going to write a novel based in each of the countries I'd lived. And I'd also lived in Houston. So this one, The Godfather of Dance, was set in Houston. So it was actually the third book that I wrote in the series. But as you probably are aware, it's a long process between writing a book, getting an agent, yes, getting a publisher, and getting a book out into the world. And so really by the time I got to the stage of being picked up, I'd already written three of these books, and it was the third one that got picked up. So it had been rewritten as the first in the series. The Godfather of Dance itself, I wrote probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and then I completely revamped it last year and the year before, and it got picked up. So it's probably been worked on 2 years, pretty solid work.
Very interesting to know that. I thought that this was the first book of the series.
Well, it is now. It's rewritten as the first, but yeah, it wasn't originally planned that way. But the other ones I'm hoping to release, but they will be in a different order.
Right, right. And since there is a murder mystery involved in it, how did you, this is something I'm very curious about, and I think about this, like, you know, if I could go back in time, I'd ask any thriller writer that, you know, you wrote all of these fantastic books when it was not the information age, but now we know so much information already. So in that sitting in today's day, how do you find creating a mystery novel, especially a murder mystery? Because a lot of things that used to be unknown because of the boom of information suddenly doesn't create any interest in people.
Yes, you have to be very aware of technology and, you know, things like hidden cameras and, you know, phones and the ability to track people where they are on their phones and things like that. So obviously that has to be taken into account, or things can become quite implausible. It can also work to your favour. So if you want to be able to track somebody, then you can use technology in various ways to do that. I think rather than looking at it as a problem, you can try to look on it as being something that you can use to your advantage as well. So it's fun. And it does mean you have to do quite a bit of research. And make
yes.
sure that you get those details right.
Yes, absolutely. So how long did it take to sort of complete this book? You said you revamped this, but you wrote it initially and then kind of edited the chapters, or completely rewrote the whole book?
Yeah, I wrote, I can probably write a first draft of a novel in probably 8 to 12 months. And then that's when the real work starts. In fact, this book, the actual murderer, I changed in the rewrite of the book. So I really changed it quite dramatically. And when we start talking about editing, I can talk about sort of the different levels of editing and how much I changed. But at a high level, because I had written these books in a different order, when I first started writing, the character Jade was an older woman. She was in her late 30s and she had two children. In this book, she's 26 and she has no children. So I had first written it with her as a mother, and the children are in the book and the husband's in the book. So I had to take them out completely and redraft it, so with her as a different age. which also gave me the possibility that then there could be, she had the potential for romance if she wasn't already married. And so that sort of altered the story as well. And it actually played better into this particular story. So it worked well. It worked well to my advantage.
Oh, that's interesting to hear. I'm always curious that as I told you, I write poetry because that's the time I can possibly spare, considering my day job and mm-hmm. everything else. So, spectrum of a novel is so big, and there are so many characters and everything. Do you use any particular writing tool, any kind of writing discipline that I'll write this many words in a day, or have a goal and then you manage it, or you use any kind of tool that helps you write?
Yeah, so let's start with tools. So I actually don't use any special tools. I know a lot of my friends use Scrivener, are very fond of that. I just use Word and use sort of more of the advanced features of Word so that I can move chapters around easily and outline things. And I keep all my notes in a separate file, which people say in Scrivener you can do all of that in one place, but I'm comfortable with the way that it works, so I don't need to. So that's the tools for me, is Word. In terms of the discipline of writing, I'm in the very fortunate position of being a full-time writer and editor, so I don't have to work around a full-time job, which I know you do, which gives me a lot more time in the day. So when I'm in different phases of the novel, I do like to be driven by numbers, just because that's part of the way my mind works and it helps me to have a target and a goal. So when I'm doing a first draft and I'm actually just getting words on the page, then I have to do at least 1,000 words a day is my goal, and I can do more than that when I'm on a roll, which is great. But obviously you have to think about what you're going to write before you write it. So there's a lot of that sort of planning stuff that goes on as well, where you're not necessarily getting words on the page, but you're figuring out what comes next. So, yeah, I do a variety of things, but whatever phase of the novel I'm at, I set myself a target and it helps keep me on track.
Yep. You mentioned that this book is you wanted to write based on the places you have lived and wanted to use that experience. So is there anything interesting related to that you would like to share?
Well, in terms of writing, I think a lot of people are driven by setting, and obviously where we live, it makes you feel differently. It makes you behave differently, whether you're in a very hot place. So most of the places I've lived overseas actually have been quite hot places. We were in Nigeria, which was tropical. We were in Houston, which actually can have quite cool winters, but it's very hot in summer. And then we were in the desert. So that heat is a really driving force in a lot of the books. And I found that each of the novels that I've written have a really different flavour based on the country that it's set in. So with Houston, I agree, I wanted to really lean into the kind of Hollywood flair of what we associate with America. And I was learning ballroom dance at the time, so that whole kind of glamour of the ballroom dance world really played into the story. And the settings as well were really important. I lived in a place called The Woodlands, which is a planned community outside of Houston. And it's a bit like living in Pleasantville. You know, it's very manicured. No houses face the main road. They are really cleverly designed, so there's lots of cul-de-sacs and things like that. And so I wanted to have that as a backdrop, to then have this sort of dark underbelly of things that were going on that were not as bright and pleasant as what everything else might seem.
Right. I think that of course it's a very big journey to write a novel, And but you are a full-time writer and editor yourself. So what challenges did you face when you started writing this book? And what sort of made you think that you should rewrite some parts of it, the characters, as you mentioned?
Well, the big challenge is, depending on how you want to put your work out into the world, you can, of course, self-publish, in which case you make your own editorial decisions and you can write a lot more, I guess, to please yourself. But I had set myself a goal of being traditionally published because I wanted that external validation that the literary community was validating my work in some way. And so that became my big challenge, was not finishing a novel, but finishing a novel that would then get picked up. So the fact that I had written a couple of novels and I hadn't yet been picked up, and so part of my motivation for rewriting this one was, you can't pitch a story that is the third book in a series. That doesn't work. Yes. You can only pitch the first book in a series. So given this was the third book, I had to choose, well, how can I rewrite this to become the first? So rather than trying to reorder it and make it still jade with the family and all of that and juggle the books around, one of my friends actually suggested making her younger so that we could make it either a standalone book, we could just make it a different character, but it also could stand as a prequel to the others. So I've now got some of the stories written with Jade as an older person, and this one and another one that with her when she's younger. So that's what drove that decision.
So building that continuity.
Yeah, that's right. And now that I've got one picked up and my publisher is keen to keep the series going, it's then about figuring out, well, which book goes next and how do I fill the gaps in time. So the second one I'm writing is, she's only a year, 18 months older, is when she returns from Houston to Melbourne.
Right. So has the book come out yet, or it's about to?
It was published in January. So if you jump onto Amazon, you can find either a print-on-demand copy that will be sent to your house, or you can download it on Kindle or any of the other apps that wherever you can buy.
Sure. So books. I'll put a link of the book in the episode description, so anyone wants, they can find the book very easily. I'll look it up myself and I'll add it there. Another thing I was very curious about, like when you read out from your first chapter, so looked very visual to me, and I think if you're writing a murder mystery, that's often a criteria that you need to build those visuals into your mind. Is that true?
Well, like, I think in any fiction, you really want it to lift off the page so that readers can see it. And so I'm lucky in the sense that dance is a very visual thing anyway. So when I'm writing about dance, it's easy to talk about that because it is such a visual thing. But I think whatever you're writing, even poetry, really you want it to lift off the page, don't you? So you want readers to have in their mind an image of a story it is that you're telling. So I think, well, yes, murders, of course, it helps to be visual, but I think that applies really across the board for pretty well most novels at least.
Right. And I wanted to change the topic slightly of our discussion from writing towards editing. And as that is your profession, so and you are a quite senior writer yourself. So for someone who was getting started with writing, or maybe they're publishing their first book, how would you define the role of editing? And if you are okay, you can talk about the editing services you provide, and I'll leave a link to your website as well, so that you know, if anyone is interested, they can find you. Because a lot of people come and ask me that, what kind of editing do I need? You know, some of my friends, like, who wants to publish their book, etc. So as a writer and editor yourself, if you could give us a little bit of guidance to
I'd love to.
Young writers.
Yes. So I think the first thing that I try to do when I meet a new client is to find out really what their goals and objectives are. So, for instance, if their objective is really, if they have the same goal as me, they want to be traditionally published, you have to approach it from a very professional standpoint right from the beginning. Other people write for different reasons. So you might write because you've had some great trauma and writing is therapy for you, and that is a way of releasing what's happened to you and letting it go, and that you are writing really just for yourself and you don't want anybody else to have to read it. So you're going to edit that in a completely different way, or look at that in a completely different way to a book that you're trying to sell to a publisher. So assuming that you want to have your work published, whether that's self-published or traditionally published, then you need to really look at what genre are you trying to write. So for me as an editor, I work, I specialise with fiction, typically genre fiction. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the distinction between literary fiction and genre fiction. It's a little bit fluffy, but literary fiction tends to be much more, say freeform, but it's more character driven. It's very, a lot of imagery. There's a lot of beauty in the language, just in the artistic creation of the language. And genre fiction tends to conform to different expectations. So it's not to say that genre fiction isn't equally well written, of course it is, but things like if you're writing a mystery, there are certain expectations that a reader comes into that book with. So they're going to expect by the end of the book that you've solved the mystery, for example. If they're reading a romance, they have certain expectations about how that romance is going to play out. And if it doesn't play out in that way, it doesn't conform to that genre. So the work that I edit tends to be more in the genre fiction because that's where I've worked most and that's what I write. I also help people who write memoir. So that's telling their own stories and putting that on the page.
Do you edit like short fiction, short stories as well?
I do. I think there are, if you're trying to do like an anthology of short stories, I would probably refer you to somebody who's an absolute expert in that. But absolutely, I can edit a short story for somebody and help them with the craft of writing that. So you're asking the question about what does an editor actually do? Once we've established what you're trying to accomplish, we then look at the state of play. So let's say you've got the first draft of a novel, for example. It may be that they really just don't know where to go next. You know, they've kind of got it all down. They're not sure if it's really working and they just need some advice. So the first thing typically we would do is some form of a manuscript assessment where we read the novel and look at how is it working. Mm-hmm. And when we look at editing, we tend to do it in kind of a sort of three passes, if you like. So the first one is a very high-level thing, which we typically call structural editing. So that's looking at the shape of the story. So it's all the very big picture things like the plot, the characters, the setting, all of these things we've talked about, the pacing, how is all of that fitting together? And it could be that there are things that just aren't working. So it could be that there are plot elements that are missing. It could be that the setting isn't well enough established. It could be that there's not the right beats in a story. So when we talk about story beats, there are kind of form guides, if you like, that people have written that talk about the various plot elements that stories expect to have within them. So like when we were talking before about romance, for example, one of those beats would be a meet cute, which is where the boy meets the girl. There's typically like 16 or something beats in a story. So in a romance, beat one might be introducing the boy, beat two might be introducing the girl, beat three might be the meet cute, and on it goes. And the story has to develop through a story arc with rising tension throughout the whole thing, leading up to some kind of a climax, and then there has to be a resolution at the end. So in the structural edit, we're looking to see, are all of these pieces in place? If something's missing, then we're going to recommend that that gets And then we have a discussion with the author about how they might choose to do that. So it's not our job to tell people how to fix stuff. It's our job to point out what issues might be and then discuss and help them figure out how to solve that and what their best path forward is. So that's that higher level. So it could be that you have to do several passes of a structural at a structural level before you get all of those elements right, depending on how experienced an author you are to start with. Yeah. Once all of those elements are in place, then you can get down to the real nitty-gritty stuff of what we call line editing, which is really looking at how, like, the paragraphs are constructed, your sentence structure, the wording, the imagery, like all of the more sort of nitty-gritty stuff of the actual words on the page. And so that can be another pass, or, you know, that can take several passes too to for the author to get that right and really perfect it, make sure their dialogue is short and snappy and is how people actually speak, not in sort of authorly language. So that would be the next level. And then the final level is when it's basically ready to go and you're looking at the literal dotting the I's and crossing the T's and making sure you've got no continuity issues, there's no spelling errors, punctuation's all correct and all the rest of it. So that's usually the very final thing that is done before it goes to a publisher for assessment. And then when you go to a publisher, if you get picked up, then they may go through all of those elements again with their editor's eyes on it, because every editor has a different view. So that's how it works. And for me, I love working at that structural level, and I'm very comfortable working at the line level. I'm not as good at the very detailed copy edit stuff. I can do that, but that's not typically where I work with clients.
Now, this was really helpful, and because I hear these kind of queries from people who want to publish, but they don't have a very good idea how should they approach an editor, or, you know, at what level of details they need that guidance. So I think anyone who is listening to this podcast, and I'll definitely mention this in the episode description so that someone who is interested can find this, and it should be very, very helpful.
A couple of things that I may just add is the thing with writing is you get the novel done and you think the job is done, and that's when the job is beginning. And it's very hard when you're first doing your first novel to really understand that and to realise that it can take as long again to get it to the point where it's really ready. And part of it too is, obviously, it costs money to hire an editor, and you need to do multiple rounds of this stuff. So the other thing that's really, really imperative for authors is to find other authors to work with, so you can swap manuscripts. So I have other authors I work with who I'll read their manuscript, they read my manuscript, and we basically edit each other's manuscript and give it back. So that way we're paying each other in kind rather than having to pay each time for an editor. So if you have other authors who you're working with, you can critique each other's work. And two benefits from that: one, you're not paying and you're getting an edit, but two, by you editing somebody else's work, you learn so much about your own work, because it's very hard to see your own work clearly. It's very hard to see with fresh eyes, because you know what you wanted to put on the page, but you don't know how it comes across to somebody else. But when you're reading somebody else's work, you can often see in their work much more easily what might not be working. And then when you come back to your own work, you're like, oh, okay, I'm doing that same thing there. Or it might be a slightly different thing, but, you know, you can see much more clearly, oh, these are the mistakes I'm making, when you're looking at it after seeing somebody else's work.
I know, that was very, very insightful. I have one last question, which is, given your knowledge and expertise into writing, is there if you had an advice when you started writing, okay, what would that be? Or what do you think that, you know, someone who wants to write a novel someday, then what advice would kind of be very helpful?
I think to really treat this as a serious job, and that you need training to get it right. I think the barrier to entry to writing is zero. Anybody who's got a laptop can sit down and start writing. but it doesn't mean they're going to write something that's worth publishing. And to get to that stage, take courses, you know, learn. That was my thing. I just dived in and started drawing it, started calling myself a writer, and then realized I just didn't know what I didn't know. So I think for anybody who's just getting started, there are a lot of short courses out there. I think I was a bit intimidated thinking, oh, gosh, I'm not going back to university to study this. But there are so many good courses. The Australian Writers' Centre is one in particular that have excellent courses for every level of author, from beginner up to very advanced writers. So, yes, if you're getting started, you're not on your own. There's so many people who've been through this and there's so many people there to help you. So get in, I would say, Australian Writers' Centre, certainly for people in Australia, and look at doing even just their intro-type creative writing courses, and that'll stand you in great stead instead of having to learn it all yourself through trial and error.
Thank you. Thank you for that. It was really nice talking to you. We have come to the end of our discussion, and we have timed it perfectly as well. This is half an hour, just a standard episode, so we have done so far with previous interviews. Thank you so much for joining and giving us your time.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you.